Linda, this is an incredible discussion with Jim with regards to the biological machine type entity, isn't it?
Well, the android issue has been there going back at least 30 years. There was a military guy who was apparently involved in an autopsy on entities that were retrieved from a crash. And he described in that particular instance that he was stunned to realize that they were not dealing with something that was purely organic, because what we would say would be the skin of an entity, it was actually like suede. It was like a cloth when they cut into it. And this issue of a more advanced intelligence that can make these worker bees, that can do all kinds of programmed assignments, has been part of the human abduction syndrome. And this comes to the issue of EBENs, extraterrestrial biological entities, simply being a phrase that our government has used that has been applied to the pear-shaped, five-foot, large eyes or larger, but not the severe black angled eyes. And Jim was making a very good distinction about the small androids that I think most of us have come to accept, that we're dealing, for the most part, when you come to human interaction with the non-human intelligence, it is usually with the programmed androids. But there are the intelligences behind the androids. And this is what Jim has had firsthand conscious experience with, what he calls the real, true aliens. And Jim, I wonder if you could go into the power, the energy that you have felt off of those. And something that I still feel is one of the most fascinating technology discussions that I've ever had, and that is your seeing the demonstration of them being able to extend themselves in only percentages.
Sure. And capping off or finishing off the worker beings, I believe that, as you said, Linda, that most abductees deal with that. And their creators are about anywhere from a foot to a foot and a half, 4 feet or more, instead of being 3 feet, close to 5 feet, in some cases taller. Now, all those little worker beings look the same. As far as what, as you mentioned, and as I said, the what I call the true aliens or the true grays of that particular species, they are taller. Their heads are bigger than ours or bigger than normal, but they're not extra large as the little beings. Their eyes are bigger than ours, but not nearly as big as those huge teardrop eyes as the worker beings, which I've surmised those huge teardrop eyes in a lot of cases. I'm believing that it absorbs energy, and that's how it works or operates, to power itself, either it be any kind of stimuli, be it light, be it movement. But with that being said, back to the grays, their skin is leather-like. Their mouths are thin. Their chins are pointy, but not quite as pointy as the little worker beings. But their skin is leather-like in texture. But you can see different patches of wrinkles. But it's not so obvious at first. It took many months into years, for me to start to easily, after a while, distinguish the difference from one individual to the other. So they are, and you can distinguish the difference, and they are biological. They are alive.
And they don't wear uniforms, Jim?
No. They almost look as if they're naked.
Yeah.
And for George, for the best way I can describe it, as far as genitals are concerned, you don't see any genitals, either male nor female. There's nothing there to, but one gets, and I have throughout all the years, to the sex aspect of it, gets the impression that the bulk of them that work with people are male. And on occasion, I've come across the feminine. And there's no doubt it was the feminine, by the way she looked, and I say she, and, of course, the way she behaved. These beings appear to have no emotions. But, however, over time, I've learned that they do have emotions, but it's a different form of emotions, and it's long-term thinking emotions. So they don't respond emotionally every few seconds as we do as human beings. So their emotions are long, long, long term. There seems to be a sense of humor. I've seen that from time to time. It's rather cynical. These are beings that do not like to answer questions. They do not respond to questions, and if they do, they usually answer ambiguously or they answer in riddles.
Hmm.
Primarily, George, because when you think about it, if you've been working with human beings for thousands of years, and abducting them on a nightly basis, on a global basis, by the millions, it's typical. Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? Da 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 da. And so they've just they're callous and cold when it comes to that. But in my case, over the years, there were reward and punishment sessions for cooperating, punishment, which I'll get into a little bit earlier, which evolved into some pretty cool stuff. And the reward sessions were where I was allowed to ask questions and get answers. But back to what Linda was saying, they don't go by name, at least the ones I've ever worked with in the last 19 years or more. They radiate energy. And whatever that level of energy is dictates rank or dictates whether you're a superior or whether you're you have a higher management role. And I'm talking in particularly the Greys themselves, the true aliens. For example, a couple of them can be in the room, and they radiate an energy that's always miserably uncomfortable. It's either a natural defense mechanism, or it's enhanced technology, technically. But I've also surmised over the years that this energy feels queer, feels scary, feels weird, paralyzes you in a lot of cases, due to the fact that literally it's an other worldly energy. It's something not from this dimension and not from this planet, and the body just reacts to it not very well. But over time, human beings are resilient. We become conditioned to it, and I've learned to be around these guys, and it doesn't bother me anymore. But the first few seconds, it does. But, however, interestingly enough, if two are in the room and they're working on a situation, when I say room, on board a craft with people, and let's say something's getting out of hand or something's out of their control or they're trying to get an experiment finished and it's just not working, you can feel the presence coming from outside the room of a superior or a higher-ranking gray, and that energy is more overwhelming. Your spine will straighten up. You'll have shortness of breath. Your heartbeat becomes very rapid. When they come into the room and get closer to you, then you become paralyzed or totally paralyzed, and it's a sensation of complete fear of being overcome. They can lean over you and say, don't do that. Cooperate with this. And it's so overwhelmingly strong that you will do it. And after they leave, you get a sense of relief, and then you still feel the energy of a lower level in the supervisory role of the other beings that are there. From time to time, we would get appearances over the years to see how these experiments were going on from very, very, what I would say, high-ranking individuals, probably in what we would call in a general range, as a general, that type of rank,